I don't know if I'm going to get through this in one segment. So go ahead and get comfortable. And I'm going to read to you an article by Pastor Chuck Baldwin entitled Romans Chapter 13. And it begins. It seems that every time someone such as my, let me, before I go here, we have a lot of Christian listeners. Now, none of them are the type of people who misrepresent Romans chapter 13, I'm sure. However, we also have listeners who are not Christians. So for those of you who are not, understand that this part, this next segment or couple segments is going to be about this issue. So relax and listen and learn something about Christians. Learn something about the world of Christians, even though you may not be one. All right, here we go. It seems that every time someone such as myself attempts to encourage our Christian brothers and sisters to resist an unconstitutional or otherwise reprehensible government policy, we hear the retort, "What about Romans chapter 13? We Christians must submit to government, any government. Read your Bible and leave me alone," or words to that effect. Oh, and let me tell you as an aside, how many times I have heard this. This is one of the reasons I have so little respect for most Christians. And I'm a Christian. But I have very little respect or use for most Christians because most of them are these kind of idiots. The article continues, "No doubt, some who use this argument are sincere. They are only repeating what they have heard their pastors and other religious leaders say." Now, let me make another aside. I didn't intend to do all these asides. But the lack of thinking, they are only repeating what they have heard. Only repeating what they have heard. If I could tell you how much problem, how many problems in society that damn phrase has caused. People just repeating or doing what they've heard or been told without engaging their brain housing units. I've come to the point where I find it not just, well, they didn't think it through. I find it offensive now when people don't think it through because 90% of the problems we have in this country is because people don't think it through. Some don't have the capacity, and for those, I don't feel angry towards them. If you don't have the capacity, you don't have the capacity. Why be angry at somebody who can't do it? But most people have the capacity. And they're intellectually lazy, and their intellectual laziness causes problems for everyone. And that, trying to think of the right word that I can say on the radio, irritates the hell out of me. On the other hand, let's be honest enough to admit that some who use this argument are just plain lazy, apathetic, and indifferent. And Romans 13 is their escape from responsibility. I suspect this is the much larger group, by the way. Nevertheless, for the benefit of those who are sincere, but obviously misinformed, let's briefly examine Romans chapter 13. I quote Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7 from the Authorized King James text. Quote, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only to wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their duties, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." End quote. To our Christian friends who use these verses to teach that we should not oppose George Bush or any other political leader, really believe that civil magistrates have unlimited authority to do anything they want without opposition. I doubt whether they truly believe that. For example, what if our president decided to resurrect the old monarchical custom of law of first night? That was the old medieval custom when the king claimed the right to sleep with a subject's bride on the first night of their marriage. Would our sincere Christian brethren sheepishly say, Romans 13 says we must submit to the government? I think not. And would any of us respect any man who would submit to such a law? So there are limits to authority. A father has authority in his home, but that does not give him power to abuse his wife or children. An employer has authority on the job, but does this give him the power to control the private lives of his employees? No. A pastor has overseer authority in the church, but does this give him power to tell employers in his church how to run their business? Of course not. All human authority is limited in nature. No man has unlimited authority of the lives of other men. By the same token, a civil magistrate has authority in civil matters, but his authority is limited and defined. Observe that Romans 13 clearly limits the authority of the civil government by strictly defining its purpose. Quote, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Close quote. Notice that civil government must not be a terror to good works. It has no power or authority to terrorize good works or good people. God never gave it that authority. And any government that oversteps that divine boundary has no divine authority or protection. Civil government is a minister of God to thee for good. That's part of the quote. It is not a minister of God for evil. Civil magistrates have a divine duty to, quote, execute wrath upon him that doeth evil, close quote. They have no authority to execute wrath upon him that doeth good. Zilch, zero, none. And anyone who says they do is lying. So even in the midst of telling Christians to submit to civil authority, Romans chapter 13 limits the power and reach of civil authority. Now, when we get back, I'm going to finish off this letter. I think it's giving you the thrust, but he goes further. I like the way he treats the subject. I like the thoroughness with which he addresses the subject. And it will be powerful information for those of you who have to deal with the morons who misuse Romans chapter 13. This is American Radio. I'm Dave Champion. I'll be back in a moment. Millions of Americans are learning that they have no income tax liability. However, knowing the truth and living successfully as a non-taxpayer are two very different things. If you know you're a non-taxpayer and you'd like to put your knowledge into action successfully and with peace of mind, go to www.nontaxpayer.org. Nontaxpayer.org does not provide services to taxpayers. Nontaxpayer.org. It's about time. American Radio, revealing the American Matrix. All righty, and we're continuing with Pastor Chuck Baldwin's exploration of Romans chapter 13. Remember that every apostle of Christ except John was killed by hostile civil authorities opposed to their endeavors. Christians throughout church history were imprisoned, tortured, or killed by civil authorities of all stripes for refusing to submit to their various laws and prohibitions. Did all these Christian martyrs violate God's principles of submission to authority? So even the great prophets, apostles, and writers of the Bible, including the writer of Romans chapter 13, understood that human authority, even civil authority, is limited. Plus, Paul makes it clear that our submission to civil authority must be predicated on more than fear of governmental retaliation. Notice he said, quote, wherefore ye must needs be subject not for wrath, but also for conscience' sake, close quote. Meaning our obedience to civil authority is more than just because they say so. It is a matter of conscience. This means we must think and reason for ourselves regarding the justness and rightness of our government's laws. Obedience is not automatic or robotic. It is a result of both rational deliberation and moral approbation. Therefore, there are times when civil authority may need to be resisted. Either governmental abuse of power or the violation of conscience or both could precipitate civil disobedience. Of course, how and when we decide to resist civil authority is an entirely separate issue, and I'll reserve that discussion for another time. Beyond that, we in the United States of America do not live under a monarchy. We have no king. There is no single governing official in this country. America's supreme law does not rest with any man or any group. America's supreme law does not rest with the president, the Congress, or even the Supreme Court. In America, the United States Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Under our laws, every government governing official publicly promises to submit to the Constitution of the United States. Do readers understand the significance of this distinction? I hope so. This means that in America, the high powers, that's a quote, are not the men who occupy elected office. They are the tenets and principles set forth in the United States Constitution. Under our laws and form of government, it is the duty of every citizen, including our elected officials, to obey the U.S. Constitution. Therefore, this is how Romans chapter 13 reads to Americans. Let every soul be subject unto the United States Constitution. For there is no constitution but of God, the constitution that is ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the Constitution resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the Constitution is not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the Constitution? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For the Constitution is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for the Constitution beareth not the sword in vain. For the Constitution is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for the Constitution is God's minister, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to fear, and on and on. Dear Christian friends, the above is exactly the proper understanding of our responsibility to civil authority in these United States as per the teaching of Romans chapter 13. Furthermore, Christians, above all people, should desire that their elected representatives submit to the Constitution because it is constitutional government that has done more to protect Christian liberty than any governing document ever devised by man. As I have noted before in this column, biblical principles form the foundation of all three of America's founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. As a result, Christians in America, for the most part, have not had to face the painful decisions to obey God rather than men and defy their civil authorities. The problem in America today is that we have allowed our political leaders to violate their oaths of office and to ignore and blatantly disobey the supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution. Therefore, if we truly believe Romans chapter 13, we will insist and demand that our civil magistrates submit to the United States Constitution. Now, how many of us Christians are going to truly obey Romans chapter 13?